Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you, and we're delighted to have you with us today. Today, we want to make mention of the fact that our Vacation Bible School is soon going to be here in just a couple of more weeks, and so we're looking forward to that and trust that you will be praying for our Vacation Bible School and inviting others to come. We do have the means for you to be able to do that with house to house and also Vacation Bible School invitation cards. So we hope that you will take advantage of that and encourage others to come and be with us, and especially children or grandchildren that you might know of that you would want to invite. And this is especially a family time to be able to study God's Word together, and I hope that you will take advantage of that. Also want to mention that today we have several who are away. Some are visiting family, some are away on vacations already, and so those kinds of things happen. Remember those who are traveling and unable to be with us today. We do have visitors with us today. We certainly are grateful that you have come our way. If we can be of help to you in any way, please let us know. Today I want to look at a lesson on fellowship with God. And I hope as we study together that we might be able to learn some things that will focus on our spiritual relationship with our God. One of the things that we have emphasized in 1 John chapter 1 is the possibility and the reality of fellowship with God. And it's a rather staggering thought to consider. When we look at these passages and recognize that through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, I can be one with deity, it is rather amazing thing for me to consider. And yet God wants a relationship with us, and he establishes that through the covenant, the new covenant that he has given us through his son Jesus Christ. And so John picks up on that as he begins to declare that they as apostles are witnesses of the things in regards to the specific events in the life of Jesus, and that they have declared that in a message that is in fact the gospel. So that through that message, men are called into this fellowship with God. And then, if you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with each and every individual who is also in fellowship with God. And let me emphasize this. It's important that we understand that we have to be in fellowship with God before we can be in fellowship with one another. And so the fellowship idea, the sharing together, the idea of being one in terms of our unity and being of the same mind and pursuing the same things in terms of goals and things of that nature arise out of our relationship with God. So it's important that we be in relationship with God, and then we extend that in terms of being in fellowship with one another. The sum and substance of true religion is fellowship with God. And so ultimately we want to be one with God now, live for him, that we might be able to be with him, live with him eternally in heaven. And so fellowship with God is essential in regards to our eternal destiny with God. Many claim fellowship with God but fall short of actually being in fellowship with God. And so I mentioned Matthew 7, 21 and 20 through 23, where the Lord himself said that many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works? And then the Lord will profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And so here are individuals making a claim that amounts to a false claim, and so they might be in a religious way, but they're not obedient to the Lord, and so they fall short of having fellowship with the Lord, which means that they will miss heaven. And that's the tragedy of this. Sometimes individuals are self-deceived. Some people are deceived by false religion. And so in either case, they fall short of being in fellowship with the Lord, and so enjoying the blessings of that as well as the hope that it instills in our heart. So we raise the question here this morning, how can you know if you are in fellowship with God or not? And I think that's a good question for each individual to examine today. The fundamental tenet of New Testament Christianity is that Jesus Christ is the Word of life and that he is the Son of the living God. This is pointed out to us in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And the apostles were eyewitnesses of the events in the life of Jesus Christ that they later gave testimony to, and that they also later wrote about in their various epistles. We have, of course, John's testimony in the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We have Matthew. We have others of the writers of the New Testament. Think of the Apostle Paul in terms of the epistles that he has given us. And so when we think about doctrine that is the foundation of Christianity, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and from his apostles. And so the church is established on that foundation, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. And so the apostles then are eyewitnesses to the reality of who Jesus is, and they give that testimony, and they have made that declaration. And so when John writes these things, for instance, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, he's announcing the terms and the facts and the truths that are a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the saving message that has to reach individuals in order for them to be able to comply with God's will and enter into fellowship with God. And so one of the fundamental aspects of New Testament Christianity is belief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Messiah, that he's the Savior and the Redeemer of the world, and that through his blood we have redemption and can then be forgiven and be reconciled to God. So the ministry of the gospel is the ministry of reconciliation, which is the means whereby we become one with deity and so enjoy the blessings of fellowship with God and have the hope that that fellowship gives us beyond this life. When we add all of this up, it becomes a very powerful message. And yet at the same time, how many people today reject the truth that Jesus is the Son of God? And they also reject that he is the Savior of the world. And so as a result of that, as long as that unbelief remains in their heart, it becomes a barrier to fellowship with God. And so we can begin to look at ourselves, and we ask ourselves the question, you know, what is it, what is involved in being in fellowship with God? The first answer to that is that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must believe that he is the Savior of the world. And so we can have fellowship with God only if we believe this great truth. Now, fellowship with God, of course, begins with knowledge of God. And so one of the things we learn in regards to the declaration that the apostles make about Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:3, is that Jesus reveals the Father to us so that we can know God the Father by knowing Jesus Christ. And so in John chapter 1 and verse 18, we have a passage that indicates that we can have this knowledge of God through the revelation that Jesus himself is making of him. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so there is a revelation that is made of God through Jesus Christ. Let's turn to another passage here in John. John chapter 14. And notice the comments that Jesus makes to Philip in exchange with Philip and Thomas. And verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Jesus, of course, in this exchange is indicating that in regards to nature and character, he has revealed the Father. And we know that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, and so he is deity. And as a result of that, to know Jesus is to know deity, to know God. And we serve and worship a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one divine essence or being. And so as a result of that, Jesus is saying, in terms of nature and character, if you've known me, you have known the Father, because we are one and the same. John 10 and verse 30, my Father and I are one, Jesus declared. And of course, that brought about immediately the charge of blasphemy, because the Jews understood that when Jesus said that he and the Father were one, that he was claiming to be deity. And of course, they rejected that. But in reality, Jesus is deity. And see, that becomes the test case in regards to Christianity. You cannot have fellowship with God if you reject, if you deny, if you will not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which means that you would affirm his deity, and then also that he is our Savior and Redeemer. And so Jesus is revealing God to us that we might be able to know the nature of God in terms of him being a spirit being, and then also the qualities and attributes of that being. And then think in terms of his character, that he's manifesting those perfections in his life, so that as individuals come to know Jesus, they come to know God. And there's we're seeing tremendous things in terms of his grace, his mercy, and his love. But we're also reminded of his wrath and his severity and his judgment. And so all of these things are coming together in the person of Jesus Christ, who's making a declaration as to who God is. Now, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, John said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now here's an important thing. The more we come to know God, the more we come to know ourselves in relationship to God. Here is a fact. God is light. And there's four things that I want you to remember in regards to that. That light, it means that he is righteous, he is pure, he is holy, and he is true. And those four things are very important as it goes to the very nature of who God is. And remember, Jesus is revealing the Father because he is one with the Father. And so to know Jesus is to know God. And so if I know Jesus, I know that he is the light. And in John 8 and verse 12, John actually says that. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And so it's one of the seven I am statements that make that marvelous declaration to all men in regards to the very nature of Christ. Now, if I'm going to approach God, I'm going to have to deal with sin, because sin defines darkness. Darkness is iniquity, unrighteousness, evil, sin. So the whole question is, how do I have fellowship with God? How can I be one with God? Well, I'm going to have to deal with sin, because sin is darkness and God is light. If I want to be one with God, if I want to be in fellowship with God, I've got to walk in the light. And that means I've got to deal with the sin. I've got to deal with the darkness in my life. And that's the power of the gospel message, that the means of fellowship with God has been secured through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so I can be forgiven of my sin and be translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9, so that I can enjoy the blessings of fellowship with God and the promises and the hope that it gives to my life. Now, as you're sitting there today, you have to think, is that something you would want? Is that something that is valuable to you? Is that something that you would want to pursue? Do you want to be in fellowship with God? Well, if you do, God is light. And so you're going to have to walk in the light as he is in the light, or you're not going to be able to have fellowship with God. That means you've got to deal with sin in your life on the terms of the gospel. Now, we have said that then we cannot be in darkness and at the same time claim fellowship with God. And John makes it very clear that if we say that, we have deceived ourselves. And he also says that if we say that, we make God a liar. And that is blasphemy, brethren and friends. To call God a liar is to blaspheme the name of Almighty God. So God, what we're learning here is, if God is light, then if I want to be in fellowship with God, I've got to walk in the light, which means I've got to deal with sin in my life. Darkness represents unrighteousness, wickedness, error. I've got to forsake those things, And I've got to come out of that darkness and into his marvelous light that I might be able to be one with God and have fellowship with him. Obviously, then it's self-evident what communion has light with darkness. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Here's the law of separation. You know, there's no communion between Christ and Belial. That's Satan. There's no communion between light and dark. And so people who are trying to blend the two are deceived. You cannot do this. It is not only illogical and irrational, it's unscriptural to try to blend the darkness and the light and say, well, we can have a little bit of both and we'll have the best of all worlds. And the reality of it is you cannot do that. So if you want to have fellowship with God, you've got to make a break with sin. Now, fellowship with God begins with knowledge of God. John writes, we have heard of him, so the revelation came from Jesus. He's the one making this revelation of God. That's absolute source, and then it's also absolute truth. And I mention absolute because there isn't any higher source, there isn't any greater source, there isn't any other source. And so now we're working with what is true and right. That goes back to the fact that God is light, because truth is an aspect of that quality, a perfection of God. He is light, and in him is no darkness. So light and dark are mutually exclusive when it comes to the character of God. We've got to see that if I want to have fellowship with God, light and dark have to be mutually exclusive in me, that I cannot walking in darkness and claiming fellowship with God. It's an impossibility. And so John says, we have heard of him, and then he says, we declare unto you. And so we must know God. We have to know ourselves as a result of knowing God. And it's one of the things, once we come to know the holiness of God, and we begin to compare our life to God, and we can compare our life to Jesus Christ, who was the perfect man, we begin to see the flaws in our own self and our need then of the gospel. I don't know any other way that revelation is brought about. And so how do I know I need God? How do I know that I really want to be in fellowship with God? Well, the more I know God, the more I know myself in relationship to God. And when I see his perfection, I am keenly aware of my imperfection. And so I am impressed in my own mind and heart with the need that I have of redemption. I need to be forgiven. Fellowship with God is conditional. Fellowship with God is contingent upon walking in the light as he is in the light. Verse 7. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, and then chapter 2 and verse 1, we have six conditional clauses. All of them begin with the little word if. And these are clauses that state a condition. The condition has to be met in order for us to be able to have fellowship with God. And so we've already seen in verse 6, number 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me emphasize a couple of things there. First of all, to lie is to be deceived, and so we can think in terms of an oral aspect of that. But John actually says, we do not the truth, and so you can lie by your actions. So we can claim fellowship with God, but be living in darkness. And if we're living in darkness and walking in darkness and claiming fellowship with God, we're self-deceived. That's a terrible state to be in. Go back to Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so many people think they're doing the right thing, when in fact they're not doing the right thing. They've never obeyed Jesus. They've never obeyed the commandments that Jesus himself has given. And so they are deceived. False religion can deceive people. They can be self-deceived because it's what they want to believe. And so they choose to believe a lie because it fits their lifestyle. We have to be on guard in regards to these faulty ways of thinking because it affects fellowship with God. And if it affects fellowship with God, it affects my future destiny in terms of my being able to be with God eternally. And so everybody wants to go to heaven, but they want to walk in darkness to get there. It's impossible to do that. In order to go to heaven, you've got to walk in the light as he is in the light, which means that we have to deal with sin, and we do that on the terms of the gospel. Now, let me go on to another thought. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, let's break this down. The phrase walk in the light means to continue to believe and do the truth. As we're going to see, it doesn't mean that I exist in a sinless state. Because one of the conditional statements that John's going to confront us with is the reality of sin. Christians sin. And so if a Christian sins, then what do I do? Well, I certainly don't want to persist in that sin, so I'm going to confess it, that I might then, by my confessing it and seeking forgiveness for it, I might continue to walk in the light. That's how we do this. That's how we work out the Christian life. And so people say, well, I'm not going to become a Christian because I don't know whether or not I could live a perfect life. They think they have to be able to be perfect before they become a Christian. Well, the idea here is that we're not going to be perfect, but we can be humble and repentant and confess our sins and seek forgiveness when we do fail God. And so we are purged from our sins on a continual basis by the wonderful grace of Almighty God. And so it becomes amazing grace to us, not a one-time thing when we're converted. Surely God's grace applies then, but it applies throughout our life. So we step into a stream of grace where we continually are cleansed by the blood of Christ when we confess our sin, renounce sin, and walk humbly with our God. And so the idea here is that we have a manner of life, walk in the light, that is consistent and in harmony with the will of God, and so that we strive for purity and holiness in our life, and when we fail, we pick ourselves up and get right back on the right track again, so that we persist in God's way and we do not abandon it, we do not forsake it, because if we do, we have just taken another turn back into the ways of darkness. We have escaped the pollutions of this world only to return to them again. And so it's just like Peter said, it's just like a dog returning to its vomit, or a sow that's been washed returning to the mud and the muck and the mire. And the reality of it is that we want to maintain our distance from sin. And when we do sin inadvertently, we have an advocate through Jesus Christ with God the Father. And so we can be cleansed of that sin and continue to walk in the light. Now, fellowship with God then defines the community of saints who belong to God. And it's those who are redeemed, those who have been forgiven on account of the power of the blood of Christ. And so if you're sitting there and you're wondering, how can I have fellowship with God? Well, we're beginning to answer that question. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is your Savior. And then you have to know God. And one of the chief things we need to know about God is that he is light, and in him is no darkness. And so if I want to be one with God, I've got to deal with sin in my life. That's darkness. And I've got to come out of this darkness and walk in the marvelous light. There's got to be a transition that takes place. And only the power of God, only the power of the blood of Christ can do that, so that I can be forgiven, reconciled to God, become one with him, and enjoy the blessings of fellowship with him. Ultimately, then, the bond between us and God is truth. That's an aspect of light. And then the pursuit of holiness, which we have been called to by the gospel, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. Today, people make light of the truth. People ridicule the truth. People devalue the truth. Let me just emphasize the opposite. Let me help you to see how valuable the truth really is to you, because it's the basis upon which we can have fellowship with God. People want to compromise the truth and still have fellowship with God. And brethren and friends, you cannot do it, because a compromise with truth represents error. And error is darkness. And we've already been over that ground today. You cannot walk in darkness and claim fellowship with God. It's an impossibility. Let's look at another thing. But what about sin in the life of a Christian? And somebody's probably thinking that today. And John says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so Christians sin. If we say we have not sinned, we also make God a liar. Verse 10, underscore both of those. But, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so whatever sin that we commit inadvertently, obviously we don't want to embrace sin again. We don't want to live in sin and pursue a life of sin. What we want to do is pursue a life of holiness. And so we make a break with sin. And I want to look at some features of verse 9. God is faithful. That means God has made a promise and he's faithful to his promise. And the promise is that if we meet these conditions, then in fact we will have fellowship with God. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all unrighteousness, all iniquity, all sin. Notice that God is just in this process, that ultimately the judgment of God against sin is condemnation. How do I escape the guilty verdict? Well, I'm justified by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we go back to point number one. I've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's the Savior and the Redeemer of mankind. And that faith has to embrace Christ, all of what Jesus is and all of what Jesus has taught, so that I become obedient unto the gospel. I'm becoming obedient unto the doctrine of Christ, what the Lord himself has commanded. And so then I walk in harmony with God's will, walk in the light. I maintain my position in righteousness and holiness and truth because that's where God is. And I'm not going to leave that. I'm not going to leave that spiritual sphere defined here by these terms that enables me to have fellowship with my God. And so God ultimately is able to render a verdict of not guilty based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for me, but he also died in my place. So he suffered the death that I should have suffered. And so as a result of that, he liberates me. That means that he satisfies the justice of God, the demand of the justice of God, and so gives me the opportunity to be able to have life in him, whereas because of my sin, I would surely face condemnation or spiritual death. And so there's a big difference, you see. Fellowship with God gives me life. If I don't have fellowship with God, I don't have life. Now, fellowship with God is conditional. Let's look at the sixth conditional statement in 1 John 2 and verse 1. John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The blood of Jesus Christ is the basis upon which God forgives our sins. Now, we're talking not only about the unregenerate sinner, but we're also talking about a Christian who sins inadvertently from time to time. That we recognize that it's the blood of Christ continually working in our life that enables us to be forgiven. And so when we meet this condition, yeah, we recognize we sin. We're not going to deceive ourselves there. And we're certainly not going to blaspheme God because God has indicted us in that regard too, verse 10. So now when we sin, John says, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, what is an advocate? Jesus is face to face with God and makes intercession for us. He pleads our case before God. Well, where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And so face to face with God, we have an advocate who pleads our case. Jesus knows our infirmities. Jesus knows our weaknesses. Jesus knows that there's times when we're going to fail. But the gospel is there as good news. And so there's relief. For those times when we sin, if we will confess that sin, repent and renounce it, and continue to walk in the light. See, that's the condition that's got to be met over time. And this is a definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness over time. Faithfulness, just like Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. That's faithfulness defined in reality in the life of one individual who ultimately triumphs when he comes to the end of his life and he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous just shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That embraces all of us if we'll jump in there and faithfully pursue a life of righteousness with God. So it's possible for me to have fellowship with God. It's possible for me to continue in that fellowship in this earthly sojourn and then ultimately be with God forever. And that's eternal fellowship with God. And that's the ultimate goal of the Christian life. And so you have an opportunity to assess your life in regards to these scriptures to see if, in fact, you are walking in the light. Now, Jesus' blood is powerful to remit all unrighteousness and keep us in the light. And so we have fellowship with God because we are forgiven. Praise God for his amazing grace. Let's summarize the things that we have said today. Fellowship with God is based upon knowing God and ourselves in relationship to him. The more we know God, God is light, the more we see our imperfections. And so then we know that we need a Savior. This is motivation for us to come to Christ. Fellowship with God begins when we believe and obey his Son, Jesus Christ. We have to believe in Jesus, right? Well, what does that mean? That I just believe a few facts about Jesus? Or that I wholeheartedly embrace who Jesus is and trust him to guide my every step, which means that I have to obey his commands. You remember Matthew 7, verse 21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Question, have you done the will of the Father? Have you obeyed the commands of Jesus Christ? If you have not obeyed his commands, then how could you even pretend to have fellowship with God? And it would be a pretense, wouldn't it? Obviously, you're making a false claim to have fellowship with God while you're walking in darkness. Impossibility, as we've studied today. So ultimately, if I want to be one with God, I want to have fellowship with God, I've got to believe and obey his Son, Jesus Christ. And then fellowship with God is conditional. We have to walk in the light. That light is righteousness and holiness and purity and truth. That has to characterize my life. These have to become my priorities. These have to become my pursuits in life. And when I'm truly pursuing these things honestly and authentically before God, then ultimately I can have this fellowship with God. And that fellowship gives me security. Sometimes people think they're in jeopardy every minute because they don't know whether they're saved or not. Listen, if you're walking in the light, you're saved. If you are continuing to meet the conditions that are stated here, and yes, we can fail, but there's a flip side to this. Well, where we might fail in some respects, we can also succeed. And so it's possible for me to be faithful. It's possible for me to continue to love God. It's possible for me to continue to trust the Lord, no matter what comes about in my life, so that I can continue my walk with my God, continue oneness, continue fellowship, and ultimately be with God forever. Fellowship with God is conditional. We must confess our sins and seek cleansing through the power of the blood of Christ. So when I fail, I don't want to be overcome by that failure. If I sin, I want to renounce that sin and turn back to God. And so as long as I continue to do that, I deal with sin based upon the grace of Almighty God. And I remain in a saved condition, and I have the safety and security of knowing that I am one with God. Fellowship then is ultimately sustained by God's amazing grace. And grace isn't a one-time deal. Grace is a continual thing, as God's grace is continually shown toward us in the forgiveness that we have and also in the fact that he sustains us and strengthens us and so provides us with the sufficiency to be able to reach the goal. If you're here today and you have never obeyed the gospel, you stand outside of Christ. You're not in fellowship with God. Your soul is in peril as a result of that. If you're here and you're a Christian and you've sinned against the Lord, that sin can, once again, it separates you from God and brings condemnation. It's got to be dealt with. And the way that we deal with it is by confessing it and seeking the forgiveness that we can have through the power of the blood of Christ. We can continue our walk with God. We can continue to walk in love. We can continue to walk in righteousness. We can continue to walk in truth. This is possible. And so it's possible for you to be saved, and it's possible for you to go to heaven, but you've got to be in fellowship with God to do it. And in order to enter into that fellowship, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and you've got to obey his commands. Jesus said that we had to believe in him, John 8 and verse 24. Except you believe in me, you shall die in your sins. In Luke 13, 3, nay, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus taught repentance. Matthew 10, 32, Jesus said, if we confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father. If we deny him before men, he'll deny us before the Father. Jesus taught confession that he is the Son of God. And then Jesus taught baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 16. Jesus teaches us what to do to have fellowship with God. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Yield your heart and obey him. If you're here and you know as a child of God you sinned against the Lord in some way, we call you back home to God today. We call you to repentance. We call you to confess your sins and seek the mercy of the Lord. The grace of God is amazing. It's there. We just simply need to avail ourselves of it and continue to walk in the light. If you're here, subject to the Lord's invitation, we graciously extend it to you and bid you to come while we stand.